This is KVNF's regional newscast for Wednesday, May 5th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Delta County commissioners at their meeting yesterday decided to author a resolution opposing the forthcoming ballot initiative 16 after being asked to do so by the Delta County Livestock Association. Delta County Citizens Report outlines a citizen-initiated ballot measure to amend Colorado state statutes that's currently in the signature gathering phase. The initiative is titled Protect Animals from Unnecessary Suffering and Exploitation. It defines the natural lifespan of common livestock species and restricts the harvest of these animals until they've lived at least one quarter of their defined natural lifespan. CDOT has a bridge they'd like to sell you. No, really. The historic Gunnison River Bridge on Highway 92 is available for adoption to any public or private entity interested in relocating it. According to a press release, situated about 6 miles east of Delta, the 83-year-old structure is the longest of three remaining Camelback Pony Truss bridges on the state highway system. Each span is 125 feet long and 33 feet wide. The structure is eligible for placement on the National Register of Historic Bridges and rated as structurally and functionally obsolete. Will be replaced beginning in November of this year. Whoever gets the bridge is responsible for relocating and reassembling it. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has found that the 11 Coloradans who suffered dizziness or other symptoms after receiving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine most likely resulted from patient anxiety, not from any ingredient in the vaccine itself. State lawmakers have unveiled a transportation bill they say will raise more than $3 billion for road work over the next decade by charging people more to use them. State Senator Steve Fenberg says that includes new fees on ride shares and deliveries.
You're ordering lunch on from Uber Eats. You are ordering your toilet paper or different things for your home on Amazon. You are using the roads one way or another, probably dozens of times a day. And so we need to figure out how do we, in this modern day, how do we pay for our roads?
Deliveries, except for groceries, would cost an extra 27 cents under the proposal. It also includes a $1.5 billion investment from the state's general fund. One Republican senator is supporting it, but others are criticizing the fee plan. An Eastern Plains deputy had twice used deadly force under questionable circumstances in the months before his involvement in the killing of Zach Giffords during a routine traffic stop last year. The Colorado Sun reports documents obtained by the Colorado News Collaborative also reveal the same former Kiowa County Sheriff's deputy, Quentin Stump, had been suspended for insubordination the day before the fatal shooting. Stump is currently facing rare criminal charges in connection with the on-duty killing of the 39-year-old handyman from Eads, Colorado. Giffords' parents are considering filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against Kiowa County Sheriff Casey Sheridan and the county commissioners for ignoring the deputy's documented pattern of questionably violent behavior. Two Denver police officers will lose more than a week of work for using chemical munitions on people who did not pose a threat to them during racial justice protests in the city last May. The Denver Post reports that a year later, other investigations of alleged police misconduct during the protests remain ongoing. Denver police officer Derek Streeter will serve a 10-day suspension without pay for firing pepper balls on three occasions at non-threatening people. Officer Diego Archuleta will serve a 6-day unpaid suspension for using pepper spray on a woman sitting in her car, which he admitted was wrong. Another officer was fired for posting a photo on social media during the protests of himself in riot gear, captioned, "Let's start a riot." State lawmakers will take their first votes this week on gun control bills Democrats are advancing in response to the mass shooting at a Boulder King Supers. Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
The House is starting with a measure to expand background checks. It would stop people who commit violent misdemeanors, ranging from sexual assault to harassment, from purchasing a gun for 5 years after a conviction. It would also end a loophole allowing people to purchase guns without a background check if it is not completed in a timely manner. Lawmakers will hear another bill on Friday to create a statewide office focusing on gun violence prevention. Democrats want to give it $3 million next year. A third bill up for debate next week would let cities enact stronger gun laws in the state. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
Support for reporting from the State Capitol comes from the Gay and Lesbian Fund for Colorado, promoting programs designed to ensure all Coloradans have the same opportunity to thrive. Online at gayandlesbianfund.org. The Bureau of Land Management is investigating vandalism at Birthing Rock, a petroglyph panel in the Moab area estimated to be at least 1,000 years old. The vandalism included the phrase "white power" scrawled over anthropomorphic figures. The BLM Utah office says vandalism and graffiti erase the important stories of indigenous people who came before us and are still important to the spiritual and cultural lives of living indigenous communities. From our Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition partner KZMU, Molly Marcello speaks to former BLM Moab archaeologist Don Montoya about what he calls a crisis in destructive behavior. Montoya now works as a consultant for the repatriation of Native American human remains and sacred objects. Here's a clip.
There were people living here before 1847, and I don't think that's realized. You know, people come over the mountaintop and they don't see big, large cities and villages, you know, and make the assumption that nobody is there. We'll just take it. You know, it's part of our cultural history of manifest destiny. You know, that's what we're fighting is, you know, the institutionalization, racism. It's just not having a cultural sensitivity. And I attribute a lot of that to ignorance. Mm-hmm. Ignorance is lack of knowledge. You know, people that don't know, that can be taught. If you're ignorant, you can still learn. And it goes back to, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, place naming, for example. We just passed a bill this last legislative session to take a look at place naming of Native American archaeological sites. Actually, they're geophysical sites, they're map sites. So there was a bill that was passed this last legislative session, you know, to get USGS, the process of changing place names of derogatory Squaw Peak or Squaw Park, and mm-hmm. make it easier to address the bureaucracy that it would take to make place name changes.
Mm-hmm.
And issues to yet to become forward. You know, for example, you know, the naming of Fremont Indians. There's no tribe that has an affiliation with Civil War General John C. Fremont. You know, and yet we've got place naming of people associated with him. You know, that further disenfranchises, you know, the Native peoples.
It sounds like these issues are bigger than one person scrawling a racist phrase across a petroglyph site, but perhaps those actions are symptomatic of a larger illness.
Yeah, and I think we need to address the illness and treat the symptoms, of course. Mm-hmm. But the symptoms are not causal. They're not the cause.
Don Montoya, former BLM archaeologist in the Moab, Utah field office. The federal agency is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or people responsible for vandalizing the Birthing Rock petroglyph panel in the Moab area.
That does it for Wednesday's KVNF regional newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.